Lord, we want to pray for Barry this morning, Lord God. And Father, as he speaks, Lord God, let the words come out of his mouth like they were you speaking, Jesus, to us. Let them come out like a double-edged sword that cuts through spirit and bone, Lord God, into the deepest parts of us, Lord God. That we wouldn't just be people that hear another preach, Lord God, but we actually get impacted and our lives are changed because this is you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It's an honor and a privilege to be able to share God's word and just to build what God wants us to build. I've been preparing, I think, for the last, while I was in China and being stuck in Dubai and, with all the floods and things. And this week, what I'm going to share this morning has been so burning in my heart. And something that I felt the Lord wants to actually come and shift within us as a congregation specifically. This morning we note, we bringing on new deacons and elders across the life of Josh Jen. But within us as Melkbos, for those of you that hasn't been here for many years, I've been part of this congregation now for, where's my wife? Oh, she left. 17 years? I think it's been 17 years since Monet and Arena planted Melkbos. Started Melkbos congregation. I think, Phil, you might help correct me. It was the third congregation we planted out, eh? It was Durbanville. Sunningdale went into two evening and morning and evening, and then I think it was Durbanville first. Mike Davies or someone went over there, and then Mike went over there with another elder, and then we started, and Monet actually planted Melkbos 17 years ago, Auntie thing is not here at the moment, sorry, I forgot to remind. But Leanne and myself have been here now since the beginning. Is there anybody else that's been here since the beginning? I think you guys were here as well. You guys were here, but you left and came back and journeys. Yeah, it's amazing. It's awesome having you guys here. And something that I realized, as you build church, God, the Bible speaks about us building church. Oh, the Lord builds his church. That's a scripture that says, unless the Lord builds the house, the laborers labor in vain. And this morning, as I've been preparing this week about talking about actually deacons in the life of the church, what is the role of a deacon in church? As I've been preparing that, I've realized that for us in Melkbos specifically, it's actually been a crack in our foundations. And that might sound weird, but it's the understanding of what a deacon is. Who of you, when I say the word deacon, immediately, you just think someone that serves. Am I right? Is that your sort of your thinking? So for you, those that haven't been in church quite a lot or often or heard these terminologies, a deacon, the word deacon or diakonos means servant. And I think that's our frame of reference. But that there's so much more for deacons. And it's something that I felt as we are bringing on deacons and elders that I wanted us as a congregation to understand. Because I feel deacons in our congregations throughout the years, in a sense, has been undervalued. And it's hard to say that as an elder. Because God's called deacons and in an office. It's not just someone that serves really well. And I want us to have a look at this. And as I prepared this morning, I got up super early. I was like, Lord, I'm ready. And as I went through my notes, I felt the Lord say to me, I think you should do this over two Sundays. I was like, what? I'm not the series kind of preacher kind of guy, let's do a series on deacons, you guys might know. I'm not that guy. But I felt the Lord say, you've got to build this well within our congregation. And so I don't know how it's going to go this morning, just disclaimer, but I do feel the Lord wants to build this really well within us. And as we build this, I actually felt this phrase. I felt like the Lord wants to come today even and build something solid for our future in Melkbos. And when I say our future, I mean our future for us in Melkbos, as we understand the ways of God and the way God builds. So I want to ask you, don't shut off, okay? I want to dive into this because I feel as we do this, it's almost like in the spirit realm, we're going to be uprooting, breaking down certain things, but at the same time rebuilding the way God wants us to build His house so that He can come and dwell within this house. So I want to start out just, I want to read this scripture. And this is the first time in the Bible or in the history of church where there was a significant change within the way, and God actually appointed deacons. This was this moment where deacons came from. And I want us to read that. If we can put up quickly Acts 6, verse 1 to 7. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number," so this is straight after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Lord came and there was an increase in the number of disciples. The church was busy growing in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was the epicenter. That's where the Holy Spirit came, and I think it was Peter was preaching, and it says 3,000 got saved that day, and the Lord added to their number. That's after Acts 2, verse 22. The church was growing. They met in each other's homes. It was an incredible time of just growth and what God was doing in the life of His church. And it says, so in these days, the disciples were increasing in number. A complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews. So quickly, you see, there was friction. Who knows, joining church, there's going to be friction. Who's experienced friction in the life of the church? No, these guys are doing this. These guys are doing that. Like, come on, you know, these guys aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing. That happens today. Yes, still happens in church today. So you get this picture of there's a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. So what happened was, in the distribution of foods, there were widows that the church needed to look after. Paul even writes, and he says, this is pure and undefiled religion, that you look after the widows and the orphans. And what happened during this time, as the church grew, the Hebrews' widows were getting all these, the Willys packages, and the other guys were getting 7-Eleven packages. There was a divide. Something happened. And the 12 apostles summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint to do this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word." And what they said pleased the whole gathering. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. And that word full of faith, it actually says exceptional faith. So there's the translation there, says exceptional faith. And the Holy Spirit. And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicolaus, and a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on it. Interesting to see a lot of them were Greek. That's very interesting. It was Greek men that became deacons, actually. This is where the deacons were set. And then it says, "And the word of God continued to increase, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith." What a moment in the life of church. What a moment. There was disunity. There was discord. There were infightings. And God set in place deacons in that moment to bring order in His house. And I think for us to understand the role of a deacon is to go back into seeing what did they do. And it comes around about building God's church. So a while back, about 2 years ago now, July, I woke up one morning about 3 o'clock, and I heard this loud bang in my house. I was like, it woke me up, and I was like, what is that? You know, I was like, I got up, I went outside, I couldn't see what was happening, there was nothing visible that I could see, and I was just going like, what is going on? So the next morning, I went back to bed, next morning I got up, and as I walked out, we've got a swimming pool, and I saw the level of my water in my swimming pool dropped by about that much. It's like, what's going on? I walked out, I looked at the wall, the retaining wall that kept our swimming pool from sliding down. Our house is built on a slope like this. The wall that was keeping everything up literally cracked in half. Our swimming pool cracked, and that water was leaking out. I was like, oh my hat. Now what? You know? Like, I was like, okay, this is pretty serious. We've got a concrete slab. That whole slab did this. It dropped, and I could see it doing that. I was like, okay, let's just keep the dogs inside. Like, kids, don't go play in the swimming pool. I don't know if you're going to end up in the street down at the bottom. So let's just, you know. And it was just this picture of a structure that was totally unstable and shifting. There was a crack, and it was actually in the foundation of that wall. So what had happened is when they built that wall, that retaining wall, they didn't go deep enough, the builders. So they built it, and with our crazy drought that we had a couple of years back, who remembers the drought? We only showered once a week. My son loved it. But with that drought, everything dried up underneath. Our houses are built on sand in Melkbos, which is interesting. The Bible says, do not build your house on sand. So don't build your house on sand. But if you do, go deep. Build your foundations deep. But what happened was, with the drought, the sand got soft. And then remember, about a year after the, or 2 years after the drought, we had that crazy raining season. And what actually happened is that water came and it washed a lot of the sand out underneath this retaining wall. And that wall just dropped and cracked. So I had to get in Mike Feet. For those of you that don't know, he was a deacon with us. He's still a deacon with us. He lives in Azefontein now. But he's a master builder. If you want to build something well, Mike Feet's a master builder. There's a couple of builders here within us. They are all really good. Mike is on that same level. I get, Mike, bro, you've got to come have a look here. He looked at it. He goes, we've got to break this whole thing down. And not just this wall. Your whole boundary wall, we've got to go deep in that, so that these two things can tie in, so that your whole area can be secured. I was like, just seeing dollar signs in front of my eyes going like, what the freak, what do we do, how do we do this, you know? So I was like, and I can't just leave it, because I can't leave it, you know? I was like, what do I do now? I'm like, oh man. So got engineers in, there was some guys that had to come in and I had to say, okay, what do we do? So firstly, they had to break that wall down. They had to go, they literally went 7 meters deeper than what it currently was to secure it. Had to put in steel reinforcements. Had to go double brick layer. It was like, I'm like, this is a fortress, man. Like, never mind, you know. But these guys knew how to build in such a way that it could take the pressure and the resistance of that retained, that the swimming pool in that area that is up there. They knew how to do it. I didn't have a clue. I was like, can we just put a couple of, like, you know, poles holding it up, you know? Like, just gum poles, man. It's like, you know, 200 rand a gum pole and we sort it. Like, no, that's not going to work, bro. You've got to do it properly. And I think it's such a picture for us that if we don't build God's house according to His blueprint, according to master builders, guys that I have built, that our foundations become shifty and unstable. Who wants to live in a shifty and an unstable house? Not one of us. It's unsafe, firstly. And God's given us a blueprint on how to build His church. And Andrew is a master builder. Andrew is a person that understands how to build church. And we've learned from him how to build church. And just looking at this one aspect, this wall, this retaining wall that holds up, in this case, something that we enjoy as a family, a swimming pool and an area where we connect and have fellowship, that was under fire because we could have lost that whole section. And I think it's a picture for us as Melkbos, where God wants to come and say, hey, I want to rebuild the retaining wall within you to secure the blessing that I want to pour out over you. And we're going to see the importance of deacons in the life of our church. Do you understand why I'm thinking it's not just a quick preach? It's something that the Lord wants to build within us, that we understand the role of deacons. And I know we've got deacons here at the moment, Mike and Cindy, Brendan and Henry. Brendan is doing this, the Sarni to see. Nathan is running around serving. I don't know, there he is. He was running around his back. You see, that's how fast he is. And we're bringing on Chart and Zandri. And can I confess, as elders, we've stuffed up. We've stuffed up. In the past, we neglected our deacons. Dylan and Oline is sitting here. They were deacons with us. Steph and Ilza were deacons with us. I think they got, Steph and Ilza came in, and as we sort of mended a lot of the relationships. But these guys will tell you, it was hard being a deacon in this congregation. Am I right? We need to own our mistakes. We need to own our mistakes. As elders, maybe we got a bit puffed up. Like, we can do it, but it's not God's way. Look at what that scripture says. The elders were like, we need to devote ourselves to the preaching and teaching and get God's word within us. Set direction, set discipline, set the things that God wants us to do, oversee. And then there's deacons there, men full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, empowered to do what God has called them to do and to run with things in the church. And as we set these things right, it's that retaining wall that will hold the blessing of God and bring the life of God. Does that make sense? That's just a picture for us. And we've got to go back. I remember Mike Davies coming back from Brazil once. So Mike's going to Brazil, and there's another Brazil outreach coming up soon. But and when he went to Brazil, he invited the leaders of the Brazilian churches to say, hey, come to South Africa. The guys came over, incredible time. They were here, they looked at Josh Jen, they learned so much. Just before they left, they said to Mike, Mike, we do everything that you guys are doing. We do it. We've got worship. We've got elders. We've got all these things that we do. We've got home group leaders. We've got everything. We look at Josh Jen and we look at us and we go, why aren't we seeing life in our church? Why is our saints not devoted to the things of God? Why are our saints, they just live their lives. They just do what they want to do. They come to Sunday when they want to do. Your saints are devoted. They come, they hear, they give their lives. They pour out their lives. They live for church. They live for Jesus. Our saints aren't doing it. And Mike said, I don't know what the answer is. Can I go back and pray? You know, which is a very good answer to give if you don't know what the answer is, you know. Don't come up with answers for willy-nilly, you know. Mike went away, and he came back. He met with them. He said, there's one thing that's different. One thing. You guys don't have deacons in your congregation. And the penny dropped. The penny dropped. And you'll see as we build this out why deacons are such a vital part in the life of the church. And if we understand it, we'll value those who the Lord has put in office of a deacon. It's a high calling. And we're going to look into that. In Exodus 25, verse 8 till 9, this is Moses building a sanctuary for the Lord. And it says, and God actually, before this, he says to Moses, he says, bring an offering because I want you guys to build a sanctuary for the Lord. And it says, and let them, God speaking, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in their midst. Isn't that what we want? A place, and it doesn't mean this Sunday. It means a sanctuary. It means the life of God, a congregation, Monday to Sunday. The life God dwells in our midst. That is my biggest prayer. Lord, come dwell in our midst because it's all about you. And God says to Moses, make me a sanctuary. And then he says, exactly as I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and of all its furniture, so you shall make it. So we get this picture of the tabernacle that God says, you know, in the Old Testament is a picture of the New Testament. We refer back to that and see, look what they did there, and let's build that now. And in the same way that Moses was giving instructions, a pattern, a blueprint on how to make the tabernacle, we'll see now that Paul goes and he says, this is a blueprint. This is how you can build the church. The church today is that tabernacle of old where the Spirit of God dwells, full of life, where He is in. So we see that there's a way. I will show you exactly concerning the pattern of the tabernacle. As elders, we can't just do our own thing. Can't build what we think is best. Hey, let's put a program together for evangelism. No. What did God say? We can't build on programs. We build according to what the Lord wants. And you can see over and over in the Old Testament, there's this phrase that rings through, and the scriptures aren't there, but in Exodus 36, in Exodus 14, Numbers 17, all the time it says, and Moses did exactly as the Lord commanded him. And Moses did exactly as the Lord commanded him. Moses did exactly as the Lord commanded him. I want to be one of those that says, Baron did exactly as the Lord commanded him. What are the patterns? What are the ways of God? What are the values of God, of His church that we read in the Bible to build according to His blueprint and His pattern? And that, if we do that, we create a sanctuary, create a place, a dwelling place for God to be in our midst. That's what I want. That's what I want. In the same way, we read Paul. Paul reads in Ephesians. So just bringing that picture into the New Testament of God giving a blueprint to Moses, the same way giving something to Paul. And Paul actually writes in Ephesians 3, verse 7 to 9, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. He says, Paul has got two purposes. Paul writes and he says, my one purpose, is to preach the mystery of God. What is that mystery? Jesus died for the Gentiles. Gentiles can be saved. It's not just for Jews. That was the mystery that Paul had. The one purpose that Paul had in his heart was preaching to the Gentiles, you can be saved. We are those. We are those Gentiles. Are there any Jews here? You've got Jewish lineage. You come from a Jewish ancestor. Not in Jesus, like physically, because we can get weird about that. You know? We are sons of Abraham, but we physically not sons of Abraham, okay? So let's just be real about it. We're Gentiles. Paul preached to Gentiles. We are sitting here today because of him. Because of Jesus, but because of him. So that was Paul's one thing that he had to do. The second thing he says in Ephesians 3, it says, to make known the order of the body of Christ. And that word, make known the order, it means the administration in God's house, to put it in order, to build God's house, to make known how do we build, how do we administer the house of God. And that was the two things he did. And in Corinthians 3, verse 9 to 17, I want us to read this quickly. We can see this. It says, and Paul's writing here, he says, for we are God's fellow workers. We work with the Lord. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are it. You God's house. You God's field. The building that God, what does God use to build His house? Brick? Cement? Sand? Water? No. Precious stones. Precious stones. People's lives. Gifts. You are God's house. According to the grace of God given to me, like a skilled master builder, I lay a foundation and someone else is building upon it. This scripture the Lord gave to me in December when I came, I was like, Lord, what do I do? I'm going to lead your church, you know, like that moment of like, who's ever felt that moment in your business, in your get married, you get a child, you look at that child, you go, what do I do? What do I do? I don't know what to do now. You know, it's like I had that moment in leading a church. And the Lord gave me this scripture. He says, someone has built, someone has laid a foundation. Andrew, in a sense, has laid a foundation, which is Jesus, is our foundation. We've had many guys come through. Hannes did an incredible job to build that foundation and strengthen it. And then it says, and someone else is building upon it. And I felt the Lord say to me, build upon the foundation that's already been laid. Keep on building. Keep on building. Let each one take care how he builds upon it. That's a scary thing. Watch out how you build, because if you build wrong, the floods are going to come. There's going to be onslaught. will your building stand? And then we go to the next verse. It says, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I mentioned that. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. On that day, we're going to stand. And that what we built with hay, wood, and straw, what do you think is going to happen with that? That's going to be gone. Our good ideas, our programs, our business principles, our way that we think might be the best, our building according to a need and not according to what God said, hay, wood, straw. Gone. Gone. Means nothing. We could spend a lifetime building with hay, wood, and straw. Stand in front of God one day and say, God goes, it's gone. I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that. God's given us everything we need to build according to His pattern and His purpose and blueprint. Gold, silver, precious stones. We are a royal priesthood. You are gold, silver, precious stones. And that's what we need to build with. With people that are devoted, people that are giving themselves, people that lay down their lives for Jesus, saying, I want to build a house for God where His Spirit can come and dwell and be manifest. And people outside look at that and go, that's what I want. Jesus is there, not the fake, not the wannabes, not the camera smokes, lights, mirrors. Jesus is there. I don't care about the rest. And that's what we need to build. And it will be revealed on that day. And the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. Lord Jesus, let what we build survive. I think there's going to be many guys praying on that day. Please, Lord, let it survive. But how did you build? Next scripture says, if anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. So some guys are going to walk in there. There's going to be a fire mark on his shirt. I think his pants is going to be burnt up because what you've built has not been on God. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. That's where it ends. You see again, you are God's temple. Each one of you matters. We build with gold, precious stones. That's why as elders and as deacons, as we come around you guys, go, how do we help you become everything that God wants you to be? We are building His church with what God has deposited in you so that you can grow into everything that God wants you to be. And as you grow, as you get rid of the things that so easily entangle you, as we use you to become a leader, to use you to go to the nations, God uses you to do all those things. What happens? The building of God grows. The field of God gets extended and people get saved. Do you guys see that? See that? I just want to see. So I'm going to read this to us in Hebrews 3. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. Just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house, went back, and Moses did what God commanded him to do. Faithful man in God's house. The same way Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses. That's why Paul writes, and he says, we build on the foundation of Jesus. That bringing those scriptures together. So much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. I was at someone's house yesterday and with a house, it's a beautiful house. And the guy that built the house was there. He sold it to other people. And I said to him, this is the house you built. He goes, yeah, it's just brick and mortar. But the house is beautiful. No one even, people forgot that he built the house. He goes, it's just bricks, you know? And it is. But that house is still standing as a, in a sense, a glory. And that's what we do. It's like, I'm going to be forgotten one day. Most of you guys sitting here don't even know Monet that started in building this house. Do you see that? He's forgotten in a sense. Not that he is, because he's an incredible man. But you know what I mean? Like, you guys are looking to me now as going, how do we build? How do we grow? How do we multiply what God wants to do? But it's not for my glory. It's for his glory and the house of God, for us to get the glory of what God's busy doing here. And that's what the scriptures does. And then it says, for every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. God's building his house. So I'm laying a big foundation before I get to deacons. Can you guys see that? I want us to understand the building process in building God a house where he can come and dwell. In December, when just after the announcements was made, we're going to lead, I went away, and we were in Mossel Bay. I was like, I need a break before I come back, because what is next year going to be holding? And I surfed quite a bit. So I was like, it's my December holiday, I'm going to surf. And there was every day, I almost want to say for about 10 days straight. Every single day, I'm in the water and I'm just praying, or I'm walking on the beach, I'm with my family, and this phrase just kept on ringing in my head the whole time. Build my house. Build my house. It's like, God, I get it, but what is it? How do I build your house? And on the 25th of December, I said to my family, they can stay home, but I went to church. I went to the Mossel Bay congregation. I literally slipped in, which you shouldn't be doing in church, at like 10 past 9, because I know they're probably going to start a little bit later, because that's a value of us. We want to be together, fellowship. So I knew that. I just wanted to slip in. I actually just wanted to be in God's presence with his people, because like even like this morning, it's like, that's the beautiful place to be, in God's presence, surrounded by the people of God. And I remember walking in as worship, they did announcements, and as worship started, and as I sat there, it's like the Lord just downloaded what it means to build his house. And I remember sitting there, I'm going like, okay, Lord, how did we build in a way that is not pleasing for you? You know, there's a scripture that says the traditions of man will nullify the word of God or the work of God. I was like, Lord, what are our traditions? So if we look around here, what are the things that we do that's become traditions? You know, coming out, worshiping in front, has that become a tradition to you? Or has that become something that we do because it's us? It's a family coming together and worshiping the Lord. And it's those things that I realized that the Lord started dropping in my heart. And the big one the Lord dropped in my heart was this thing around deacons and building the way God wants us to build and seeing deacons right. So I think I'm going to carry on next week. Come next week. And I'll quickly just drop these things. Deacons are leaders, not doers. We'll build on that. Deacons serve, but everyone serves. You know that Jesus was called a deacon? Next week, you'll find out where that is. This is like an advertisement, okay? Yeah. And we're going to look at the key roles, you know, that deacons, they fight for unity. They mobilize the church. There's so much what they do. But I think this morning what God wanted us to realize is that, yes, the church of God is a place to come and worship, but each one of you plays a part. You are the gold. You are the precious stones. You are the silver that God wants to use to build his church in Melkbos so that people can see what is going on. So what you do and who you are matters to the Lord. And I also want to speak that over you guys today. Who you are and what you do in this in the life of this church matters. It's not by chance that you are sitting here. God has called you. I often pray, I said, Lord, who have you added to us? God adds. Everything is built by God. God is the builder. And I want to end with this scripture. I'll end with these two scriptures. In Proverbs, in Psalm 127, verse 1, we know this scripture. I mentioned it earlier. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. If God's not doing it, what are we doing? And I want to give you this permission. If you sense God isn't doing something here, please find another church. Please find another church. Find a place that God is busy building. Because you don't want to stand one day in front of him and say, Lord, I was in that church. God goes, well, that church that built with hay, wood, and straw. You were actually meant for gold, silver, and precious stones. With that church, you get burnt up. The Bible says you might just escape through like flames. What church you join matters. Who you join yourself with matters. Unless God builds the house, whatever we do, worthless, vain, smoke, here today, gone tomorrow. And this is a scripture for me that I want to finish off with, that as elders, we've been together, and this has been our heart in going, Lord, we want to build the way you want to build. And it's this, Proverbs 24, verse 3 to 4. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Wisdom is God-given, God-appointed understanding of knowing how he wants to do it. We establish the house of God with it. We build by wisdom. We find from the Lord, what is he wanting to do? Every single one of you, God, what have you placed in their hearts? What's burning on your heart? This morning I met with a couple. I'm like, what's burning on your heart? What did God put inside of you? How do we help you to become everything God wants you to be? Your purpose, your plan. It's not about you, but it is about you. So what you do, what you get involved with, how you live your life matters to each one of us. Because what you do will affect all of us as we build God's house. And as elders, we're going, Lord, show us each person, who are they? What have you got for their lives? And yes, some of you will become deacons. Some of you will become home group leaders. Some of you will become elders. Some of you will run things in this church like kids' church. But more than that, it's to create a place of God to dwell by his Spirit. And that those outside of these invisible walls, in a sense, can go, what's going on there? I want what God's doing there. Because God has called us to live for him. Amen? So come next week, we will talk about that. Talk a little bit more about deacons and the life. And you'll see as we build that out, how that impacts your life. Can we close our eyes? Let's close our eyes. So as I prepared, I was obviously hoping to go into deacons and the understanding of that. But I think this morning the Lord wanted to lay the foundation for us, understanding why we are here and what we are doing here. As Melkbos, we are called as a congregation that will raise up those, that will go to the nations, that will be that blueprint. People can look at our lives and go, that's the way to build. That's the way that the Lord is going, raising up leaders, going all over the place and fully devoted to him. And maybe this morning, as you're sitting here, you're visiting or you've been coming for a while, you've been just with us and you've been looking at us and it's sort of the lights are going on. You're going like, I see that. I see now why they do what they do. It's sort of like you're understanding the process. But as you're looking at it, you're realizing and you're going like, I don't even know if this is what I got saved into. You know, am I fully living for Jesus? Is he the king of my heart? Is he the one that's taken away all my sin? Do I live for him completely? And I don't know everybody here and where you are with the Lord. But this morning as you were listening and you realized, God, I want to live like that. I looked at a bunch of people worshiping you. looked at young men taking off their shoes, kneeling in front of you, going, Lord, you my all, you my everything. Maybe this morning for you, as you're sitting there, you're realizing, God, I haven't surrendered my life fully to you. I haven't given you all. And it's not to embarrass you. God this morning determined for you to be here because he's reaching out. That word that I brought in worship, he yearns jealously for you. For you. He wants you. He wants you to be part of his kingdom. And so this morning, if you are here and you go, hey, I just don't know if I'm 100% right with the Lord. We want to always give an opportunity, always, for anybody to make right with Jesus. And every eye is closed. People are praying for you. And you know that you, because you know your heart's beating in your chest and you're realizing God's busy doing something within you. And I'd love to pray with you this morning. Give you the opportunity just to either recommit your life to the Lord again or to say, God, I want to give you my life fully. And if that's you, don't you wonder why every eye is closed? Just slip up your hand and say, please, that's me. Can you pray for me this morning? Is there anyone? Great. So while our eyes are closed, I want to at the same time, for us as Christians, how have you been building your life? You know, we can talk about building church, but your life, is your life built with hay, wood, and straw? Because the same way as elders is going to stand in front of the Lord one day, you're going to stand in front of God one day to give an account for your life. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. How are you building your life? If a test of fire needs to come over your life now, are you devoted? Do you follow Jesus in everything you do? Do you surrender your ideas, your thoughts? Do you go, God, I want to build my life the way you want it to be. I don't want to just do my own thing. I want to follow you, lay down my life for you. The Bible says, unless you die, how can you live? And that same analogy of building church, God uses to build, how are you building your life? And if that's you this morning, you go, Lord, I actually need to just say sorry for a couple of things. I want to just come before you, Lord, and say, Lord, I don't want to build my life with wood, hay, and straw. I want to build it with gold. But the things that you got, that scripture that says the disciples obeyed him in everything. Do you obey God in everything? Or do you just run according to what you think is best? And this morning I felt a grace for us that we can come in front of the Lord and say, Lord, I want to surrender my life to you again. You are worthy of it all, God. I want to surrender my life again. I want to come and humble myself in front of you to say, Lord, come build my life so that I don't build my life. And every eye is closed, and I'm not going to call you out, but I do sense it's a moment for us just to make right with the Lord. If that's you, think about your finances, think about your marriage, think about your kids, your business, your workplace, your dreams, your aspirations. Think about all of those things. Are they under Jesus? And does he build your life? Do you follow him wholeheartedly, devoted, sold out for him? Lord, as your people, God, we want to stand in front of you today, Lord. We want to say, come build your house, Lord. Come build within us, God, the things that you have called us for, that you have destined us for, that we can live for you, that we can run for you, Lord Jesus, that on that day when you come back, that glorious day coming back, and everything will be tested, Lord, may it be said of us that we built with gold, silver, and precious stones. Not with hay, straw, and wood. And as a people, God, we want to dedicate ourselves. And I want to ask, if that is you this morning, I want to stand in front of the Lord again and just make a fresh commitment to him. Say, Lord, it's almost like I'm stepping over again. I'm taking a step forward. And please, there's no guilt, this is not a thing, but if you really sense this morning God spoke to your heart and you're saying, Lord, I want to be that. I want to be one of those that will count for you, that will live my life for you. Don't you want to stand with me? I'm standing. I'm standing this morning saying, God, I want you to build my life. I want to run with you, Lord. And it is a sense that you're saying, God, and maybe you have been building this, and it's often like that. You have been doing this, and it's just a deeper sense of, God, I want to do more for you. I want to please you in every area. But this morning, stand with the knowledge saying, God, my life is yours. And understand the commitment you're making to him, not to me. I'm keeping my eyes closed. I almost don't want to know who's standing, because it's to him. You need to give an account for your life one day. You need to work out your salvation. So Lord, for us who are standing, God, we this morning want to declare that you are our King, that you are our Lord, our Savior, and we give you our lives, God. We want to declare, Lord, that we want to build our lives the way that you want us to build. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, give us knowledge, Lord, to live a life worthy of that which you have called us, God. We want to take the things of this world and push them aside, God, and just live for you, Lord Jesus, in everything that you have for us, God. And maybe if you have stayed seated and you're going like, I don't understand this, I want to encourage you, come talk to one of the elders or the leaders or the deacons in this house. Say, help me understand just what is my life. I don't understand the purposes and the plans that God has for me. And let's together journey to find out what that is. But Lord, this morning as your people, we want to say amen. We worship you. We love you. That you are everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.